on love. And last week, Pastor Carl and Brenda just knocked it out of the park. They set the bar really high with an incredible message on love and the five love languages. I mean, I've read parts of the book, but I never took that test. That was so interesting. And if you didn't get that, if you missed that, you can watch it on the website. And we have the tests are still in the lobby if you didn't take the test. Incredible. And today is going to be part two. Pastor Mike's going to bring us part two. Give it up for Pastor Mike. Is he the most awesome Pastor Mike in the whole world? That guy is just incredible. And he's going to be bringing the message, taking it to the next level. Welcome, Pastor Mike, as he comes, brings part two, the message on love.
Love you, Pastor Bill. Love you, Victory Church. I like this series. Even though it's only two parts, it's like a mini-series, I guess we can call sermon series, mini-series. But I feel very honored to be able to speak this morning and take it as a sincerely great honor. And I always promised, Pastor Bill, I'd honor you at the beginning of every message, and I'm not going to stop now. I want to honor our senior pastor this morning because I'm going to actually honor you a little bit later on in a special way. But I think you're doing an amazing job pastoring our church. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And also, I want to honor Carl and Brenda because they teed it up for me last week with the five love languages. And again, amazing message. So good. It's blessed our marriage. It's blessed. Thank you. Nancy, come on. Give it up for Carl and Brenda. That's right. She's got that gift of encouragement. Amen. All right. So, obviously, it's February. It's the month of love. Or for you singles, it's Single Awareness Month. Right? I feel you. On Valentine's Day, I was checking my Facebook account and my other social media accounts, and what did I saw two camps. Those who were in relationships were like, oh, I got flowers. Oh, I got chocolates. It was so good. And the other camp was like, I hate everyone. I'm going to have a bowl of ice cream. I'm going to do whatever I want today, and I'm just going to stay inside and sculpt. I love you singles. I was there. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. I know what it's like to be single, and I know it can be a challenge. No matter how old you are, it can be a challenge being single. But I can tell you today that you can absolutely love the single life, absolutely love being single. In fact, you'll find out today that it's actually a blessing, a real blessing. I'll share more about that in a little bit. But anyway, not all the Facebook sasses were bad, but I was praying for some of my friends that day. Anyways, and I want to show this. There's a video that I found on GodTube. Have you guys heard of GodTube? It's like YouTube, only godlier, I guess. They call it GodTube, but it's like you can look for videos and search for stuff. You know nothing bad's going to pop up, something inappropriate. So anyways, I saw this video on GodTube about singles, and let me read the description of the video first. It's a movie satire. It's very short. Portraying the single life of many young Christian believers. In their time of being single, they have many opportunities to study their Bibles, spend time in selfless prayer, reach out to the needy, and participate in many God-honoring activities. Instead, they cleverly use those opportunities to fall in love. So let's run that video. I just got a kick out of it.
Many singles spend time and money looking for the one, but we at the International Institute for Singleness believe that this stage of life can be a rewarding time of glorifying God, if viewed properly. Here we offer you a few ideas for using this time in a satisfying but God-honoring way. Be content with your current state of singleness. Grow in your relationship with God by spending time in His Word.
Thy neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory. Thy hair is like a flock of goats that appeareth from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn.
Spend time in prayer for others.
God, I'm so lonely. This singleness is unbearable. God, help me.
Take advantage of this time by going on the mission field.
So, you're thinking about taking a mission trip this year?
Yeah, I went to the orphanage that we supported in Ghana last year, and I was thinking about returning this summer.
Me too. I mean, I didn't go last year, but I was thinking about it this year.
Learn to be a cheerful giver. So remember, during this time of singleness, be as the Apostle Paul, focused on the Lord and his good work.
I hope I didn't just offend all the single people in here. That was funny. I want this message to be encouraging for you guys. Absolutely. And actually, I don't want just the singles to get something out of it. I want everyone to get something out of it. So the principles that I'm sharing this morning are universal biblical principles. In fact, if you didn't get sermon notes this morning, our ushers have a stack of sermon notes, right? And just raise your hand and keep them raised until they can get it to you. And they'll get it to you as soon as possible. Wow, I'm proud of you guys. Most of you guys have sermon notes. Sweet. Because they're really good. I put them together myself, and they're great. I just want to bless you with them. Here's our key scripture for today's message. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." The way I like to view this passage is like I make an analogy to like the cogs in an old clock. You know, cogs, that one cog moves the other. You ever seen inside like a wristwatch? You have like usually like three cogs or something like that. Maybe the designs have changed. But love is that big cog that drives faith and drives hope. And if you focus on love, you make it a priority in your life to develop in the love of God, getting it in your heart and expressing it in your life, you're going to find that your faith and hope begins to rise. There's power behind that, power behind your faith, power behind your hope. You have real vision for your life when you focus on love, the greatest of these. Very encouraging. So, two areas to focus to help all you singles love the single life. I put it in your notes. But I've given you a foundation first. So here's the foundation for these two principles, these two areas. Loving God and loving people. Loving God, loving people. That is the foundation. Not just for the single life, for any life. I guess the only other is married. Single or married. But wherever you're at in life, the foundation for your walk with God, the foundation for finding success and victory in your life is loving God and loving people. I just throw this out there. I dare you this week to focus on that. Let that be your primary focus, loving God and loving people. You're going to have an amazing week. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but you're going to be blessed, and you're going to see God move powerfully in your life. Amen. And this is the foundation. So we see it in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. It's in your notes. Jesus replied. Now, what did he reply to? So there were some disciples who, some other people asking Jesus about marriage. He's talking about marriage and divorce, and it was getting kind of overwhelming for his disciples who were all single at the time. All of Jesus' disciples were single, not married. And they said to Jesus, well, if it's this complicated, marriage, this whole marriage thing, it's better for us to just not get married. And Jesus replied, I'm sorry, I skipped ahead in my notes. I got ahead of myself. Anyways, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." I'm confused this with another scripture. Pray for me this morning. Okay. "This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All right, so we know that's a foundation. We want to shore it up, and I'll give you a practical tip for how to shore it up. The number one way to grow spiritually and to shore up this area is to reflect on God's word. There's actually been surveys done nationally and internationally about what the factors that influence spiritual growth the most. You know what the number one factor is? Head and shoulders above everything else. It's reflection on God's word. The second is prayer. But reflection on God's word is twice as effective, a 2-to-1 ratio, causing spiritual growth in your life as opposed to prayer. Now, prayer is awesome. It's number 2 on the list. But reflection on God's word is the primary way. Why? Because what it does, the Bible talks about our minds being washed with the water of the word. How do you wash your mind with the word of God? You reflect on it. So a challenge for you, you know, in shoring up this area of loving God and loving people, and it's not on your notes, but I want you to write it in, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's called the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I just want to challenge everyone. This is going to be a challenging message, just heads up. It's an encouraging one, but it's challenging as well. Reflect on it. Study it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Am I being patient this morning? Am I being kind towards my spouse? Am I being kind towards my roommates, towards my coworkers? Am I boasting? Am I envious? The more you reflect on it, the more you'll see that your mind will begin to be washed and your character will be shaped, and it's going to be an incredible walk that you're going to have with God. You're going to have victory in every area of life if you focus on these two areas, because Jesus said it. All the other commandments, all the other things that he wants you to do hang on these two things. So let's keep it simple. I like God. I like the way he keeps things simple. Just focus on loving him and loving other people. Okay, so the first area, you singles, I'm going to help you out. First area of focus to help you love the single life is our devotion. Our devotion, that's in your notes. Our devotion, basically what I'm talking about is how do you love God? How do you love God? Or to what degree do you love God? To what degree? A definition for devotion is profound dedication. Profound dedication, earnest attachment to a cause, person, etc. Basically, what I see is this earnest attachment is like my devotion to God is so strong that I'm committed to his ways. I'm committed to him. If he has a plan, I want his plan. If he has a will, I want his will. If he has a way of doing something, I want his ways. I want to throw this out there. If you're kind of sick and tired of being lonely, depressed, or dissatisfied where you're at in life, maybe it's because we've started buying into the world's way of doing stuff as opposed to God's way of doing stuff. If you want to keep getting the same results that you've always had, keep doing the same thing that you've always done. But I dare you, in a loving way, to challenge you to do it God's way. God's way will produce God's results. The world's way will produce the world's results. Oh, it's a heavy message. I need to lighten it up a little bit. I'll get to that in a second. All right, and I'm going to keep challenging you. The Apostle Paul did an amazing thing in writing this letter to the Corinthian church. He addressed a lot of issues that they were going through. I mean, you got issues, amen? That should be everyone. If you don't, man, you guys are awesome. You didn't raise your hand. I want what you got. We all got issues, and the Apostle Paul was such a loving spiritual father to this church that he planted in Corinth, and he, especially chapter 7, where he talks about a lot of issues that people are going through, mainly relationship issues, as marriage as opposed to singleness, and the complications. Not only that, but they're being persecuted during this time, heavy persecution. They were afraid for their lives during this time. Now, that's very relevant to this day and age, right? Because of ISIS and what's going on around the world, a lot of our brothers and sisters are being persecuted. And just when you go back and read chapter 7, read it in that context, there's heavy persecution. And the Apostle Paul is talking about. But he writes this thing in verse 32 of chapter 7. He writes this portion directly to singles. And this is my encouragement to you. I would like you to be free from concern. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife. Any married men, can you attest to that? You got to bring home the bacon. You got to work hard. You got to rub your wife's feet when she's tired. Come on, I went there. You got to cut the grass. You know it. You know it. Okay, you know you're divided. You love God. But you also love your wife, and you're devoted to God, but you're also devoted to your spouse, and you better take care of your spouse, or you're going to sleep on the couch. So an unmarried woman, this is the next verse. Oh, sorry, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs, right? Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I like that verse. Not in a selfish way, but I just like it because when I think about Lelaine, I just know she does this really well. She takes care of me in a lot of ways, and she's a huge blessing. I want to honor you this morning. I know. You're like, you better. All right. Yeah. I know. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I am saying, so the Apostle Paul is saying this. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you. Singles, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way, an undivided devotion to the Lord. Undivided. So I'm going to throw this out there. There are two gifts that God gives every single person, everyone. Lord, you know, potentially, I'll say it this way. The first one, marriage and singleness, okay? There are two gifts that God can give, marriage and singleness. And I'll tell you what, both of them are single. Have you heard this? Like, I know what it's like to be single and just kind of like, oh, I'm all alone. What? This is such a curse, a plague on me. It's like God saying, no, singleness is a blessing. It's a gift from God. So is marriage. But I'll tell you this, the order is important. The order is important. Why do I say that? This is very near and dear to my heart because when I was 14, 15 years old, I saw my two older siblings get this order backwards. They got married. It's not wrong to get married at a young age, but it's wrong to get married if you're not ready, right? If you're not ready. And if you don't experience a time of being single where you are prepared for marriage, where you're prepared in the love of God, knowing what that love looks like and how it's expressed. My two older siblings just didn't do that. And I won't get into any details that are going to just dishonor them, but they just didn't make the right mistakes, and their marriages actually didn't work out. They failed. And if you're here and you're in a situation where your marriage has failed in the past, there's no condemnation. There's no guilt here. I mean, His mercies are renewed day by day. My siblings, I'm praying for them, and they're growing in the knowledge of the love of God on their own pace, on their own journey. I'm not saying it's hopeless for people who make mistakes. That's not true at all. There's always hope. But at the same time, God has a way of doing stuff that's just wise, and it blesses us. It sets us up for success. And this time of being single is so crucial. If you get the order right, if you focus on this time of being single, being fully, undividedly devoted to God, it's an amazing time. I'm going to lay out some benefits for you in a little bit. But for me, I had this time, and I learned it early on by the grace of God, but only because I had two siblings who didn't do it the right way. I'm sure if I was the oldest, I would have done the same thing that they did. I guarantee you, because I was on that track. But it was like, God, I just happened to be the third child, you know? So I was kind of like one of the middle children. So I got to learn from their mistakes. I go, well, I'm not doing that. But when I was in middle school and freshman year of high school, I had three relationships, three girls who dumped me, three strikes, you're out, right? Like for me, I was like, I struck out. What is this whole relationship thing about? What is this whole dating thing about? And my dad did this incredible thing where he handed me a book. We didn't have a lot of quality time together, me and my dad. And he hardly talked to me about like serious stuff. I wish he had. But he did something incredible and profound. He handed me a book called I Kissed Dating Goodbye by a pastor named Joshua Harris. At the time, he was a youth pastor. Now he's a senior pastor at another church. I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And I tell you what, I recommend this book to every single person in this room. Anyone I come across who's willing to be discipled by me, I'm going to encourage them to pick up this book and read it. It's so powerful. The whole premise of this book is we don't have to play the field. We don't have to, men, we don't have to be on the hunt. Women, we don't have to be hunted. We don't have to be. That we can actually view ourselves as, in this time of being single as being prepared for marriage. And not only that, but in our single life, consider ourselves already married to someone, and that's Jesus. It was such a powerful truth. I had just struck out in relationships, and I was primed to hear that message. I received it with all my heart. I said, God, I'm sorry. I've been wanting a girlfriend more than I wanted you. God, I want you. That freshman year, when I made that decision, it was powerful. For the rest of high school, my grades went up, 4.0 GPA, wrestling captain 2 years in a row, band captain senior year. It was phenomenal. Growth. Not only that, that's just the material stuff. That's just the stuff that God adds to you after you seek Him first. The most important thing, leading Bible studies during lunchtime, seeing my friends saved. Powerful. God can use you during this time of being single. Use you. He can use you wherever you're at in life. But man, it's true. When you're single, you have this undivided opportunity to have undivided devotion to God. So amazing. The Apostle Paul even talked about this. Guess what? He never married. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, he says, I wish that all of you were as I am. But each of you has your own gift. See, he's talking about gifts. Some of you are married. That's a gift. I say that again. If you're married, that's a gift. Amen. Amen. I'm not leaving you out, married people. All right. Each of you has your own gift from God. From God. Yeah. He that finds a wife finds a good thing from the Lord. One has this gift, another has that. Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about. All right, so when I got ahead of my notes, this is the scripture that I got ahead in. I was thinking about this, Matthew chapter 19, where his disciples are coming to him saying, listen, marriage is too complicated, Jesus. It's better for us to not get married. Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word. So some of you singles, you're listening to me and you're going, you're crazy. You're nuts. I can't do that. And Jesus said it. All right, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. Not everyone's called to be single for the rest of their life. Some of them are. He goes on to explain it. And next verse. For there are eunuchs who are born that way. Throughout the word eunuchs. That means there's a surgery done on them, and they, or if they're born that way, they just can't reproduce, right? So younger ears, that's what it means. Most everyone else knows what that means. And those eunuchs have been made eunuchs by others, which I feel sorry for them. And then there are those, I like this next, and then there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. I'll tell you this, every single person who's single, consider yourself in your heart, it may sound weird, consider yourself in your heart a spiritual eunuch, fully devoted to God. I'm just not going to focus on sex, dating around, pornography. I'm not going to focus on these things. I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to be fully devoted. And Jesus is challenging everyone who's single. Can you accept this? It's a choice. Can you accept it? Because it's a gift that God's giving you. Do you accept his gift this morning? There are some benefits to being single. I want to throw that out there because it's not just like, oh, boy, that doesn't sound like fun. Ugh, I really like being liked by someone else. First of all, you come to this church, you're going to be liked by everyone. So, solved your problem there. Benefits of being single. Number one, you're free from distraction. You're free from distraction. I hope we made that clear. Free. Free from distraction. You just, when you're married and you have kids, come on, marrieds, parents, you know there's distractions, right? Children, yes. Bills, yes. Mortgage payments, jobs, bringing home the bacon. You're distracted. You're distracted. Second benefit of being single, fewer complications. Fewer complications. You don't have to worry about, all right, Lelaine and I are in this marriage small group called For Couples Only, okay? And it's based off this book that talks about the difference between the female psyche and the male psyche. It's an incredible book. We're having a great time. Brad and Lisa Roberts, they headed up. They're doing a phenomenal job. Just yay for them. Awesome. Love it. But let me tell you, they take something that most men would think complicated, they simplify it. But still, when you're single, you don't have to worry about trying to figure out women. And women, you don't have to worry about trying to figure out men. It's just fewer complications. We're people and we're complicated. All right. Third benefit of being single, less stress. Less stress. By the way, I'm getting this all out of chapter 7. I encourage you to go home and read it because Apostle Paul talks about these things. Less stress. It's true. Less opportunities to be stressful. My single years in high school, man, it was like, yeah, there was like work, but I wasn't anxious about it. I worked hard and I had fun. It was less stress. Number four, more time and energy. Come on, there are some single people in this church, especially the younger ones, they're in like 3 or 4 small groups this semester. And some of you are thinking, I don't even have time for one of them. It's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, it's true, more time and energy. Should you spend all that time and energy just on the hunt, or should you spend all that time and energy focused on God? Yeah. Ooh, here's the best part. Number 5, better preparation. Better preparation. When you're single, I'm telling you, my single life was, I enjoyed it. Because God prepared me as a man to be a man of God, to be a man full of faith, to love him. Not only that, but practically he prepared me. Like we did, Elaine and I did premarital counseling. Yes, even though we were engaged, I still can say, no, we're single. We're still fully devoted to Jesus. We're not yet unified. So even the premarital counseling, there was time. We didn't just rush into marriage. We took time to do premarital counseling. We did it with Carl and Brenda. You guys did an amazing job. Love you guys. It prepared us. And then even, I remember this time, I wish Rebecca was here because I wanted to honor her too, but it's really funny. Even before we got engaged, there's this marriage seminar that was put on here at the church. And Rebecca would introduce us. This is our pre-engaged couple. She labeled us pre-engaged. She's our pre-engaged couple. And people were like, well, why are they here? No, they're pre-engaged. That's why. I go, oh, okay. But we're learning about, as a single, even though we were courting in this courtship, we still consider ourselves single. We were learning about marriage, even during that time. We were getting prepared. Financial counseling. Come on, guys. Like, I had to learn how to watch my bank account, make sure it doesn't overdraft. I had to learn how to pay bills. I had to learn how to take care of a vehicle. I had to learn how to pay off debt, learn about, I wanted to give a shout out to Jamie Zublik because I remember that Financial Peace University Wednesday night Bible study that you did. It was amazing, so good. I got so much out of it. I was single and I was learning. It just brought me peace of heart to know, like, and peace of mind. Wow, like, I don't have to be a slave to the lender. I can be free financially. Awesome. You have more time and energy to devote to studying these things when you're single. It's just true. You have better preparation for life. All right, so the second area, we talked about our devotion, our degree of commitment to God, okay? Now the second area to focus on is our associations, as you're single. Our associations, basically how we love people, who we associate with, who are our friends, who do we spend time with. To associate literally means to join as a companion, partner, ally. Who do we have at our side? Either giving us godly advice or foolish advice. Who do we have? Who do we associate? And I'll tell you this, who we associate with matters. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's in your notes. Verse 33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts. Always good character. There's no asterisk that says, well, if she looks really good, maybe not. Bad company corrupts good character, always. I've heard it said this, show me your friends and I will show you your future. You ever heard that saying? Powerful. It's true. It's true. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, it says this, do not be bound together with unbelievers. Now, in the context, it is talking about marriage, right? But I'll tell you this, it also, this principle applies to every relationship that we have. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? And that word fellowship, again, it's interesting. If you're new to this whole Christian thing, maybe new to church, what's this word fellowship mean? I'm going to make a distinction here. Fellowship is basically hanging out, basically. I'll go in a little bit more detail in a little bit, but basically hanging out. A lot of people look to Jesus and say, well, Jesus hung out with sinners. Why can't I? First off, Jesus was God, and he was perfect, and he never sinned, and he could handle being with them without the sin rubbing off on him. And his purpose wasn't there just to hang out with them. His purpose was outreach. Outreach. And I have it in your notes, and fill in the blanks, please. Outreach is meeting the physical and spiritual needs of those around you. And you can do this wherever you're at in life, not just when you're single, but wherever you're at, meeting the physical and spiritual needs of those around you. And fellowship, as opposed to that, is taking part in common activities. Common activities. It's like that Greek word koinonia means intimacy, community, or where it's derived from another word, koinonos. It means to partner in holy practices or unholy practices. So who are you partnering with? Is it with godly situations or ungodly situations? I know this is kind of heavy, but don't worry. I'm getting some good stuff. Jesus outreached to sinners. He fellowshiped with his disciples. He outreached to sinners, but he fellowshiped with his disciples. He spent more time with his disciples than he did really do an outreach, and especially right before he was getting ready to be crucified. Okay, so who we associate with matters. So the question I pose to everyone here, and you, whether you're single or not, what relationships should you cut off? What relationships should you invest in? What relationships should you cut off? What relationships should you invest in? How do I answer that, Pastor Mike? Okay, here you go. How about this? Ask yourself this question. Are they influencing me or am I influencing them? Am I leading them, or are they leading me? That'll let you know if you should invest more in that relationship or cut it off. Say that, Pastor Mike, that's mean. No, it's not. It's love, it's wisdom. It's a hard truth. Sometimes it's hard to swallow, but for your own good, it's wise. Cut it off, because the devil has that person in your path to drag you down away from him. This whole series is on love and our devotion to God, love to God, who we associate with, how we love people, to what degree. This is just wisdom. Oh, hope you receive it this morning. So there are key relationships, three of them, key relationships that I think you should invest in. I'll try to do it very quickly. I learned this from Lee Grady, who's an awesome man of God. He's actually one of my mentors, and I love him so much. I love him so much. But he taught this one time, and I just took hold of it. What you need a Paul in your life, an Apostle Paul. So like, and that's, what is that? A spiritual father or mother. You can fill that in. A spiritual father or mother. These are spiritual fathers and mothers. You need someone that you can look up to and learn from. Just give a plug for small groups. That is a great place to find them. Great place. It's why we encourage everyone to be a part of a small group, because if you can find these people in those small groups. Spiritual fathers, mothers, and this is where I want to honor Pastor Bill, because Pastor Bill, I view you as my spiritual father. I view you that way. And I love the way, I mean, you took me to your property, and you allowed me to shoot some of your guns. I never shot guns before, and first time shooting, I was like, wow, this is fun. I'm a city slicker, so I didn't grow up in the country, okay? So anyone, you grow up in a big city, you know, gun, I don't touch a gun. I've never seen a gun. I don't know how to handle a gun. Pastor Bill taught me some gun safety. It was really cool. I love that. He takes me out, go hunting. I've never gone hunting before, deer hunting. Turkey, I'm still wanting to get a turkey. It's like they have a calendar. They know when Christmas time and Thanksgiving is coming around, and they're gone. And I hate that. Ugh. Anyway, Martian hunting on his airboat. In fact, I have a picture. Do you have that picture? There you go. Picture of Pastor Bill on his airboat. And that's with another guy that he's like a mentor to. His name is Trevor. He's a cool guy. But I love those radios. That's cool. I didn't have it. You didn't have that the last time I was out there with you. So you got to take me out again so we can look cool, and we'll take our own selfie, and it'll be awesome. All right. Second relationship that you need a Barnabas in your life. Barnabas was a friend to Paul, a friend, a close brother. These are brothers and sisters, spiritual brothers and sisters. You need someone where you can always go to for love, encouragement, affirmation. They're going to be there for you. You can talk to them about anything. You can be open and honest. For me, it was, many of you remember Doug Cresimano. He was my roommate in college. He was my best man at my wedding. He lives in Jacksonville now. Man, I love keeping up with him. He's one of my Barnabases. Kaivon Sanjana, Pastor Kaivon. He's the youth pastor here. He's one of my Barnabases. I love just meeting up with him on a weekday morning at McDonald's early in the morning, and just we're talking about life and sharing our hearts with one another. I'm telling you, you need spiritual brothers and sisters in the Lord. You need them. And then the third relationship that you need to invest in are Timothys. Timothys, these are spiritual sons and daughters. Timothys. Timothy was a spiritual son to the Apostle Paul. So was Titus. Sons to him. He invested in them. There are letters in the Bible dedicated to where Paul is mentoring these young men, young pastors in the faith. We got to invest. If you're growing in the Lord, and if you're not a conduit to invest in the next generation, I want to challenge you to find a Timothy. Find a Timothy. Find a spiritual son or daughter that you can invest in. Raise up that next generation to love God. Invest in them. Love them. How do you do that? Again, you just focus on loving God and loving people. I've learned, like, you can overcomplicate discipleship. You can get heavy-handed with it. Don't. Don't. Best thing that Pastor Bill and Lee Grady and Pastor Carl, what they do is they allow me to make mistakes, and they love me even if I make a mistake. I value that. I value that. You just love them no matter what. Be there for them. Encourage them. You're going to do better next time. It's okay. No judgment, no criticism. I have two fill-in-blanks that are left, okay? And we're going into this time of reflection, and where a lot of people were just... what I've noticed is when people fill in the last fill in the blank, they immediately start shuffling and putting their stuff together, and they make a bunch of noise, and they click their notebooks. I have this love-hate relationship with those notebooks now. It's like, well, that's a distraction for people who are like, this is like the most important part of the Sunday service is when we're drawing close to God and we're reflecting on what was taught and we're making decisions about life and eternity. So I want to encourage you, like, let me finish praying and stuff. And when I'm done, finish praying. All you want, make a whole bunch of noise, shuffle your stuff, okay? All right. So let's reflect. There's a lie that the devil speaks to us. And I've written it in first person because what we do with lies that the devil gives us is a lot of times we personalize it and we make it our own. And the lie is, I can never be content where I am. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie. Whether you're married or single, it's a lie. Here's the truth. I can be completely content when I choose to love God and love people. Just bow your heads. Just close your eyes. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. This is a great time to reflect on your truth, reflect on your word. Many right now, I know this was a challenging message. It was a challenging word, but it's something to sharpen us. It's something to help us grow. If we focus on these two things, loving God, loving people, we're going to have victory in every area of our lives. Focus on our devotion. Focus on our associations. Examine it. Right now, would you just take some time and reflect on that? What are some relationships I shouldn't see this person anymore. This person drags me down. What are some relationships you can invest in? Oh, this young person, I know I can invest in this person. I know I can. If you know God's touching your heart and challenging you to grow, how many of you guys are going to challenge yourself to grow in the love of God this week? Would you raise your hand? Come on, all over the room. That's it. Thank you. All over the room. Awesome. Awesome. Now, every head bowed and every eye closed. Some of you may be saying, you know what, Pastor Mike, all this talk about love and devotion to God, I don't think I've ever really made that wholehearted commitment to God. I don't think I've ever really made that decision to just follow him completely. I want to encourage you. That's why you are here this morning. That is why you're here this morning. You can make that decision. I promise I'm not going to ask you to come up. I'm not going to ask anyone to stand up. I'm just going to ask you to make one bold decision to raise your hand and say, count me in. I'm going to pray this prayer with you. Count me in on that. I want to be fully devoted to God. I want to embrace where I'm at in life and just say, God, thank you. My life is yours. If you know that's where you're at right now, would you raise your hand right now and just be bold? Be bold. Come on, thank you. Be bold. Everyone pray this prayer with me, all right? Heavenly Father, I know I need you. I need your love. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. I may not be where I'm supposed to be, but I know you can lead me to where I should be. Please forgive me for my sins. Please come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give you control. I know that's bold, but I give it to you. My life, I surrender it to you, God. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you that you call me a son or daughter. And I receive your love. I receive your spirit. Now, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you, Victory Church.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Let's give it up.